Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. Good Friday morning. In Kansas City, in the current composite trade, March hard red winter wheat is at 805 and a half, up 4.5. July is 824, up 4.25. March wheat in Chicago is 764 and a half, up 8.5. July, 770 and a quarter, up 6.75. March corn, 717, up 6.25. July, 705, up 3.25. December, 568.75, up 2.25. March soybeans, 1488 and a half, up 1.75. July, 1459.75, down 2.5. November, 1315, down 9. March soybean meal, 438.20, up 60. March soybean oil, 51.86, up a penny. February live cattle are up a nickel at 127.60. March feeders, 146.67 and a half, down 52 and a half. February lean hogs are 87.15. They are up 17 and a half. A quick programming note. Today is a USDA report day. USDA set to release its February WASDE report at 11 a.m. this morning, Central Time. We'll have special coverage of that particular report and how the trade reacted and where the trade will go after the numbers longer term at 12:20 Central Time. Our guest will be Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and we'll also hear from Mike pre-report in just a moment.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting on March 5th is sure to attract a crowd. We've got a great lineup of panels. We've got presentations on the changing southern U.S. farm landscape, projected land values in 2013, diversifying into livestock, and, of course, our popular marketing panels on soybeans, corn, and cash grain. Guarantee your seats by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a Beef House continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 217-333-7300. And joining us by phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Question becomes, can the WASDE give us something in the wheat pit to perk this commodity up?
The question does become, can wheat be the proverbial Moses leading the grains out of Egypt, Dave? And I think there's a couple things that would suggest that is the possibility or the probability heading into the numbers. I don't like forecasting right ahead of the numbers because I like to stick to the medium term, but I did see a Reuters report when I returned from your excellent meeting in Casey yesterday of Britain making a North American soft wheat purchase. When I saw that report, I recalled that the Food and Agricultural Organization probably had just released this week their updated ending stocks figure for the global ending stocks for coarse grains and wheat. They came in with a reduction in the wheat ending stocks globally down to 158.9 million tons. That compares to January's USDA number of 177. That means January's numbers carrying an 11% premium or 11% excess compared to these updated FAO numbers. And so I think you're talking about the difference between having either excess wheat and abundant supplies if the USDA maintains this number, or if you go with the FAO number and USDA migrates towards that number, you're talking about numbers down to the 2007 2008 levels when we were anywhere from 122 tons to 167 tons. So this 11% difference between the two, the 18 million tons actual change between the two, or difference between the two, that's a big number, and I think this is where the report becomes extremely important as we get the numbers here in a couple hours.
And it seems to me this is one of the few times when we're not trading ahead of the market because we're not trading the FAO numbers.
No, I think this is where the distinction comes into play. We're trading U.S. numbers, and I think we're trading U.S. Numbers of ending stocks this week. We're trading bigger corn and wheat numbers, smaller bean numbers. We've essentially, I think, pushed away the global numbers, and we've instead seen the funds, a new type of fund come in, the managed money fund come in and fill the vacuum of the long-only fund here the last few months. These funds are typically short-term in nature and very technical in nature, and I don't want to say they pick and choose what they look at, but I think it does lend the idea that they probably do have certain models looking at certain things and therefore make the prices more inefficient. Maybe what it goes back to is if you look at the global ending stocks for wheat and coarse grains, you'd probably be more of a long. And if you look at the global ending stocks for oil seeds, especially with the Brazil's numbers coming up and bean production potential, I think you'd probably be more of a short. But I think the trade and the funds in particular have looked really hard at the U.S. ending stocks and decided to trade it that way instead.
Turn your attention to soybeans, and particularly new crop November soybeans, which have had lower lows for the last three sessions. Some people want to put it off on better weather conditions in Argentina. But whenever you see that just before a WASDE report, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to what are the spreads doing right now? And I think this is where, if you take away the December corn price action this week, Dave, we've had a pretty good week of price action. The wheat corn spread has come around, the bull spread in corn has come around, mm-hmm. and the bull spread in the beans have come around. And so my take on this market, if I could take away the 30-cent drop in the December corn futures in 2 days, I would say this has been a very constructive week. And I was on track with last weekend's copy to clients and subscribers, as you know, that, you know, looking at the beans running out of gas unless the wheat and the corn can pick up the stick and take it to the next level. And I'm still in that mindset heading into this report an hour from now, because I do think that the medium-term fundamentals and the global fundamentals, the weather in particular for wheat, needs to be looked at very, very soon. I looked at the Wichita, Kansas 7-8-day rainfall totals before I went on the road on Monday. They were at an inch of precip. When I got back this morning, they were down to 0.07 of an inch of precip. The drought monitor came out, and it's not improving. It's actually worsening in Nebraska and Kansas. At some point, I think these have to be traded.
Seems to me the trader is more in a production mindset than in a demand mindset at the moment. But they are. If you look at USDA numbers, and then you look at numbers from people who are on the ground in Argentina and beginning to talk about the crop there for corn and beans on the ground, farmers and industry executives, they're already beginning to publicly say, you know what, I don't know what the world numbers are out of USDA, but they're at least 10% too high.
Yeah, and I think this is the big thing for the corn market, because I do think that the market has done a very good job of pricing in weather premium because of the excellent export demand we continue to see in the bean crop. But again, to be able to get above $15 in the March beans, for the November beans to get above $13.50, I really think you're at a point where you got to have a market that's more holistic and more trending, and maybe that's what you're tapping into.
Yes.
It's been uneven, and this is where, again, the inefficiency in the corn market seems to be at almost an extreme. In my view, and I share some of these private estimates and some of these private conversations that you're talking about with independent people, that the corn is getting likely to get much, much more damaged in Argentina than the beans. Why? Because it had such a tough time getting planted because it was so wet. So you've had one of those years where it was too wet to plant on time. The corn was already under stress when it got planted, and then it turned hot and dry. We all know how that acts in Argentina, because Argentina is a lot like the United States when it comes to the growing areas and what type of climate we have. And so here again, the market has kind of chosen and picked where it wanted to put premium in, And I lay this at the feet of the wheat market. The corn is just not going to pick up the spear and take it to the next level, like a track meet type thing, unless you get the wheat corn spread running. And we've been able to see that wheat corn spread get to 50 cents today.
That
means a lot.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to WILL 580 AM.